اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو. الحي القيوم، الرحمن الرحيم، ذو الجلال والإكرام، أتوب إليه. اللهم كن وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم إني أسألك برحمتك التي وسعت كل شيء، وبقوتك التي قهرت بها كل شيء وخضع لها كل شيء وذل لها كل شيء، وبجبروتك التي غلبت بها كل شيء، وبعزتك التي لا يقوم لها شيء، وبعظمتك التي ملأت كل شيء، وبسلطانك الذي على كل شيء، وبوجهك الباقي بعد فناء كل شيء، وبأسمائك التي ملأت أركان كل شيء، وبعلمك الذي أحاط بكل شيء، وبنور وجهك الذي أضاء له كل شيء. يا نور يا قدوس، يا نور يا قدوس، يا نور يا قدوس، يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تهتك العصام، اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل النقم، اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تغير النعم، اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تحبس الدعاء، اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل البلاء، اللهم اغفر لي كل ذنب أذنبته وكل خطيئة أخطأتها، اللهم إني أتقرب إليك بذكرك وأستشفع بك إلى نفسك، وأسألك بجودك أن تدنيني من قربك وأن توزعني شكرك وأن تلهمني ذكرك. اللهم إني أسألك سؤال خاضع متذلل خاشع أن تسامحني وترحمني وتجعلني بقسمك راضيا قانعا وفي جميع الأحوال متواضعا. اللهم وأسألك سؤال من اشتدت فاقته وأنزل بك عند الشدائد حاجته وعظم فيما عندك رغبته. اللهم عظم سلطانك وعلى مكانك وخفي مكرك وظهر أمرك وغلب قهرك وجرت قدرتك ولا يمكن الفرار من حكومتك. اللهم لا أجد لذنوبي غافرا ولا لقبائحي ساترا ولا لشيء من عملي القبيح بالحسن مبدلا غيرك. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك وبحمدك ظلمت نفسي ظلمت نفسي ظلمت نفسي. تجرأت بجهلي وسكنت إلى قديم ذكرك لي ومنك علي. اللهم مولاي كم من قبيح سترته وكم من فادح من البلاء أقلته وكم من عثار وقيته وكم من مكروه دفعته وكم من ثناء جميل لست أهلا له نشرته. اللهم عظم بلائي وأفرط بي سوء حالي وقصرت بي أعمالي وقعدت بي أغلالي وحبسني عن نفعي بعد أملي وخدعتني الدنيا بغرورها ونفسي بجنايتها ومطالي. يا سيدي فأسألك بعزتك ألا يحجب عنك دعائي سوء عملي وفعالي ولا تفضحني بخفي ما اطلعت عليه من سري ولا تعاجلني بالعقوبة على ما عملته في خلواتي من سوء فعلي وإساءتي ودوام تفريطي وجهالتي وكثرة شهواتي وغفلتي. وكن اللهم بعزتك لي في كل الأحوال رؤوفا وعلي في جميع الأمور عطوفا. إلهي وربي من لي غيرك، أسأله كشف ضري والنظر في أمري. إلهي ومولاي، أجريت علي حكما اتبعت فيه هوى نفسي، ولم أحترس فيه من تزيين عدوي، فغرني بما أهوى وأسعده على ذلك القضاء، فتجاوزت بما جرى علي من ذلك بعض حدودك، وخالفت بعض أوامرك، فلك الحمد علي في جميع ذلك، ولا حجة لي فيما جرى علي فيه قضاءك، وألزمني حكمك وبلاءك. وقد أتيتك يا إلهي بعد تقصيري وإسرافي على نفسي، معتذرا نادما منكسرا مستقيلا، مستغفرا منيبا مقرا مذعنا معترفا، لا أجد مفرا مما كان مني، ولا مفزعا أتوجه إليه في أمري غير قبولك عذري وإدخالك إياي في سعة رحمتك. اللهم فاقبل عذري وارحم شدة ضري، وفكني من شد وثاقي، يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني، يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني، يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني ورقة جلدي ودقة عظمي، يا من بدأ خلقي وذكري وتربيتي وبري وتغذيتي، هبني لابتداء كرمك وسالف برك بي، يا إلهي وسيدي وربي، أتراك معذبي بنارك بعد توحيدك، وبعد من طوى علي قلبي من معرفتك، ولهج به لساني من ذكرك، واعتقده ضميري من حبك، وبعد صدق اعترافي ودعائي خاضعا لربوبيتك. هيهات، أنت أكرم من أن تضيع من ربيته، أو تبعد من أدنيته، أو تشرد أو من آويت، أو تسلم إلى البلاء من كفيته ورحمته. وليت شاري يا سيدي وإلهي ومولاي، أتسلط النار على وجوه إن خرت لعظمتك ساجدا، وعلى ألسن نطقت بتوحيدك صادقا وبشكرك مادحا، وعلى قلوب اعترفت بإلهيتك محققا، وعلى ضمائر حوت من العلم بك حتى صارت خاشعة، وعلى جوارح سعت إلى أوطان تعبدك طائعة، وأشارت باستغفارك مذعنا، ما هكذا الظن بك، ولا أخبرنا بفضلك عنك يا كريم يا رب، وأنت تعلم ضعفي عن قليل من بلاء الدنيا وعقوباتها، وما يجري فيها من المكاره على أهلها، على أن ذلك بلاء ومكروه قليل مكثوه يسير بقاؤه قصير مدته فكيف احتمالي لبلاء الآخرة وجليل وقوع المكاره فيها وهو بلاء تطول مدته ويدوم مقامه ولا يخفف عن أهله لأنه لا يكون إلا عن غضبك وانتقامك وسخطك وهذا ما لا تقوم له السماوات والأرض يا سيدي فكيف لي وأنا عبدك الضعيف الذليل الحقير المسكين المستكين يا إلهي وربي وسيدي ومولاي لأي الأمور إليك أشكو ولما منها أضج وأبكي ألعليم العذاب وشدته أم لطول البلاء ومدته فلئن صيرتني للعقوبات مع أعدائك وجمعت بيني وبين أهل بلائك وفرقت بيني وبين أحبائك وأوليائك فهبني يا إلهي وسيدي ومولاي وربي صبرت على عذابك فكيف أصبر على فراقك وهبني يا إلهي صبرت على حر نارك فكيف أصبر عن النظر إلى كرامتك أم كيف أسكن في النار ورجائي عفوك فبعزتك يا سيدي ومولاي أقسم صادقا لئن تركتني ناطقا لأضجن إليك بين أهلها ضجيج الآملين ولأصرخن إليك صراخ المستصرخين ولأبكين عليك بكاء الفاقدين ولأنادينك أين كنت يا ولي المؤمنين يا غاية آمال العارفين يا غياث المستغيثين يا غياث المستغيثين يا غياث المستغيثين يا حبيب قلوب الصادقين ويا إله العالمين أفتراك سبحانك يا إلهي وبحمدك تسمع فيها صوت عبد مسلم سجن فيها بمخالفته وذاق طعم عذابها بمعصيته وحبس بين أطباقها بجرمه وجريرته وهو يضج إليك ضجيج مؤمل لرحمتك ويناديك بلسان أهل توحيدك ويتوسل إليك بربوبيتك يا مولاي فكيف يبقى في العذاب وهو يرجو ما سلف من حلمك أم كيف تؤلمه النار وهو يأمل فضلك ورحمتك أم كيف يحرقه لهيبها وأنت تسمع صوته وترى مكانه أم كيف يشتمل عليه زفيرها وأنت تعلم ضعفه أم كيف يتقلقل بين أطباقها وأنت تعلم صدقا أم كيف تزجر زبانيتها وهو يناديك يا رب أم كيف يرجو فضلك في عتقه منها فتتركه فيها؟ هيهات، ما ذلك الظن بك؟ ولا المعروف من فضلك، ولا مشبه لما عاملت به الموحدين من برك وإحسانك. فباليقين أقطع، لولا ما حكمت به من تعذيب جاحديك، وقضيت به من إخلاد معانديك، لجعلت النار كلها بردا وسلاما، وما كانت لأحد فيها مقرا ولا مقام، لكنك تقدست أسماؤك، أقسمت أن تملأها من الكافرين من الجنة والناس أجمعين، وأن تخلد فيها المعاندين، وأنت جل ثناؤك قلت مبتدئا وتطولت بالإنعام متكرما. أفمن كان مؤمنا كمن كان فاسقا لا يستوون؟ إلهي وسيدي، فأسألك بالقدرة التي قدرتها وبالقضية التي حتمتها وحكمتها وغلبت من عليه أجريتها، أن تهب لي في هذه الليلة وفي هذه الساعة كل جرم أجرمت وكل ذنب أذنبت وكل قبيح أسررت وكل جهل عملت كتمته أو أعلنته، أخفيته أو أظهرته، وكل سيئة أمرت بإثباتها الكرام الكاتبين الذين وكلتهم بحفظ ما يكون مني، وجعلتهم شهودا علي مع جوارحي، وكنت أنت الرقيب علي من ورائهم والشاهد لما خفي عنهم، وبرحمتك أخفيته وبفضلك سترته، وأن توفر حظي من كل خير أنزلت أو إحسان فضلت أو بر نشرت أو رزق بسطت أو ذنب تغفره أو خطأ تستره. يا ربي يا ربي يا وسيدي ومولاي ومالك رقي، يا من بيده ناصيتي، يا عليما بضري ومسكنتي، يا خبيرا بفقري وفاقتي، يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب. أسألك بحقك وقدسك وأعظم صفاتك وأسمائك أن تجعل أوقاتي من الليل والنهار بذكرك معمورا وبخدمتك موصولا، وأعمالي عندك مقبولة حتى تكون أعمالي وأورادي كلها وردا واحدا وحالي في خدمتك سرمدا. يا سيدي يا من عليه معولي، يا من إليه شكوت أحوالي، يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب قو على خدمتك جوارحي واشدد على العزيمة جوانحي وهب لي الجد في خشيتك والدوام في الاتصال بخدمتك حتى أسرح إليك في ميادين السابقين وأسرع إليك في البارزين وأشتاق إلى قربك في المشتاقين وأدنو منك دنو المخلصين وأخافك مخافة الموقنين وأجتمع في جوارك مع المؤمنين. اللهم ومن أرادني بسوء فأرد ومن كادني فكيد واجعلني من أحسن عبيدك نصيبا عندك وأقربهم منزلة منك وأخصهم زلفة لديك فإنه لا ينال ذلك إلا بفضلك وجد لي بجودك واعطف علي بمجدك واحفظني برحمتك واجعل لساني بذكرك لهجا وقلبي بحبك متيما ومن علي بحسن إجابتك وأقلني عثرتي واغفر زلتي فإنك قضيت على عبادك بعبادتك وأمرتهم بدعائك وضمنت لهم الإجابة فإليك يا ربي نصبت وجهي وإليك يا ربي مددت يدي فبعزتك استجب لي دعائي وبلغني مناي ولا تقطع من فضلك رجائي واكفني شر الجن والإنس من أعدائي. يا سريع الرضا يا سريع الرضا يا سريع الرضا اغفر لمن لا يملك إلا الدعاء فإنك فعال لما تشاء. يا من اسمه دواء وذكره شفاء وطاعته غناء ارحم من رأس ماله الرجاء وسلاحه البكاء. يا سابغ النعم يا دافع النقم يا نور المستوحشين في الظلم يا عالما لا يعلم صل على محمد وآل محمد وافعل بنا ما أنت أهله وصلى الله على رسوله والأئمة الميامين من آله وسلم تسليما كثيرا.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه. We congratulate all the brothers and sisters on the occasion of the birth of the Lady Fatima al-Zahra. Salawatullah wa salamuhu alayha wa ala abiha wa ba'liha wa baniha. Inshallah, Saturday night we will dedicate the session to the birth of the Lady Fatima al-Zahra, as tonight's discussion will be very brief. However, we will still discuss, however brief it may be, the Lady Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha, as many sessions are required, and we will still be in need of more sessions to discuss her for our benefit, understanding who she is in her true existence, in her proximity to the Lord, in the unseen aspect of her existence, is something that we cannot arrive at. And of course, that doesn't mean we don't delve into it. It means that however much we discuss it, we will never get to the end. The benefit of it is, though, not simply to understand her. We never have that reason to discuss anyone. The reason why we discuss them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us we need to know of them, is because knowledge of them, knowledge of those figures, knowledge of the people that are mentioned in the Holy Quran by name, those who are not mentioned in the Holy Quran by name but by description, like the Ahlul Bayt, salamullah alayhim ajma'in, Fatima al-Zahra and her husband and children, these figures are a requirement for us to know, not because of them, but rather because of ourselves. Knowing them will benefit us. If we want to know what direction we need to have in life, having a text that tells us how it's done is not enough. You need a coach. We need a coach. We need someone. While we look at that text, the Holy Quran, the most profound, accurate, and deep text that can ever be created, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put all those teachings in the Holy Quran. Text, however, is not enough. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never sent a book in writing and left it without a person or a people to be coaches for others to learn through that text where to go and how to maneuver and how to move forward. The coach that we are in need of, that while we look at that text, we look at the Quran, we're supposed to, without that also we cannot understand and we cannot move forward with that coach. Part of the sayings and the teachings of those coaches, the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt, salamullah alayhim ajma'in, is the necessity of reading the Quran as well. We have to look at that. However, it is not sufficient for us to simply and only read them. And I'm not referring to looking at hadith. When I say going to the coaches besides the text, I'm not referring to going to the words of the ma'sumin recorded in books of hadith, although that's also necessary. That is necessary. That is a need that we have. We do need to go to the words of the Ahlul Bayt as well. Whatever has been documented, and there's an abundance of words teachings, guidances, explanations, further explanations of the verses of the Holy Quran, in case we get confused, and we do get confused in regards to what those verses are telling us. Besides that, what we're saying is that there is a need for a coach. A coach is not another text. The words of the Ahlul Bayt that have been recorded in books have turned into text for us. That's another set of words and statements that we're reading in a book or in books. Again, the discussion was that texts, words are not sufficient. You need a coach. A coach is someone that doesn't just limit their instructions to general guidances, general words, let's say a brochure or a booklet that they hand to their students, their pupils, the trainees. That's not what a coach does. That's not what a trainer does. A trainer has to be with the trainee, spend time with the trainee, and tell the trainee, this is exactly where you need to do this and you need to do that. Rather than simply giving a booklet, yes, the booklet is there. The person needs to read on their own. But then when they go for the training, the coach is watching them, observing them. The person who read that text understood it, but didn't realize this is the application of this particular teaching here, because they don't have experience with it. So now the coach tells them, well, this is what that meant. This is where you need to do this. That's where you need to do that. You get familiar with what you need to do through the text, but you make mistakes in applying it. You don't know that your state of mind, your state of heart, your state of society, your state of politics, and so on and so forth, is the particular condition you're in. We don't realize it, although the teachings are there. But because we don't have experience, that's why we're being trained. That's why we're trainees. We don't have that experience. Someone who does, who knows exactly where and when, what's going to be beneficial, in what condition, is able to identify those conditions, the applications of the rules of the laws. They need to be with us and tell us, this is what you need to do, and that's what you need to do. Don't do this, do that, and so on and so forth. We're in need of a coach. A real coach. Now, what does this have to do with the Lady Fatimah al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha? She has passed away. Salawatullah wa salamuhu alayha. She's a martyr, a shahida that is no longer with us. What we have available to us are her words. Although that is true in a particular sense of the word, in the physical sense, a physical presence, the way currently the ma'sum of our time is the imam of our time, the son, the great-grandson of the Lady Fatimah al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha, the imam of our time, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-sharif wa ruhi lahu al-fida. We have him, he is physically present in this world. And he is, ayna sababu al-muttasilu bayna al-sama'i wal-ard. Ayna babu Allah alladhi minhu yu'ta. Ayna wajhu Allah alladhi يَتَوَجَّهُ إِلَيْهِ الْأَوْلِيَاءِ. He is the wali of Allah of today. He is the door of Allah who is physically present in this world. And that is true and that is correct. And so he is a coach. But the relevance to the Lady Fatimah al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha, and to all of the Ahlul Bayt, of course, the Holy Prophet above all, as the Prophet, but also the Lady Fatimah al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha, as the daughter of the Prophet, as the one who connects the Ahlul Bayt. All of the Ahlul Bayt are connected through the central figure of the Lady Fatimah al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha. In a certain way, she's the connection in many ways, hard to explain and hard to understand, but a very apparent and easy way to understand that is the family connection. She is the one that connects the Prophet to Amirul Mu'mineen more than just being the cousin and being raised in his house. And the connection through Fatima to Zahra is for the Prophet through to his grandchildren, Salamullah alayhim ajma'in, but it's more than that, a lot more than that. Fatima to Zahra, Salamullah alayha, is present. Fatima to Zahra, Salamullah alayha, is a coach. Fatima to Zahra, Salamullah alayha, is someone that we can rely on. Those who understand this, those who realize this, those who ask her, therefore, after knowing this, that she is available for that, and they ask her for that, they plead to her for that, instead of going and asking for this person, this alim, this scholar, and that scholar, which is, we need to go to ulama, we need to go to scholars, as they know more than us in regards to understanding Islam. But coaching is a little different. Coaching for higher elevations is different. We don't know which of these ulama has reached those higher levels. We can't really know. And what is being said to us, they say, oh, this Ayatollah is great, that Ayatollah is great. How do we know how far up they are? But we do know that the Ahlul Bayt are above all. There's no question that however high that scholar is, higher than them without comparison, meaning that scholar cannot be compared to the height and the elevation and the status of the Ahlul Bayt, or the Ahlul Bayt, Salamullah alayhim ajma'in, they are above all. Sometimes we see people interested in spiritual ascension, spiritual wayfaring, spiritual progress, and reaching the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they go and beg this scholar and that scholar. Don't beg, ask your questions from ulama. And when they say what they say, as far as you know of the verses of the Quran, the sayings of you've heard, if it's something that you don't understand to be wrong, then they're more of an expert. Take that on board and try to go by it, that's fine. But don't beg them to train. Don't beg them to be the coach. Beg the Ahlul Bayt to be the coach. Beg Fatima al-Zahra to be the coach. And then, if Fatima al-Zahra identifies this scholar, this alim, this arif, to be one that can train you, she will send that person to train you. She will send this scholar or that scholar to train you, to take care of you. And it's her taking care through that scholar, through that person. And if we keep begging her, she will help us, even through this scholar or that scholar, to ascend to a level above that scholar. Then who takes care of you? Fatima al-Zahra was taking care of you. And after you ascend beyond a level that that scholar can train you, she will send the next person if there's a need for another person. And after a while, if there's no other human being, or she identifies that you no longer need these material presences, and she can herself guide you in an unseen way, and you can receive that, you have elevated to a level where you can receive that, she will guide you beyond that even. Don't beg this scholar or that scholar. Go to them, ask questions, and so on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives guidance. And He has said, these 14 lights are the ones I have put there for my guidance. The key to my knowledge is them. أَنَا مَدِينَةُ الْعِلْمُ وَعَلِيٌّ بَابُهَا. I am the city of knowledge. So the Holy Prophet is the city of knowledge. You want, and that knowledge, where did it come from? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. God created that city of knowledge, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. It's His knowledge. You want God's knowledge? You go to the Prophet. Who's the key to the Prophet's knowledge? Ali ibn Abi Talib, Fatima al-Zahra, Hasanain, A'immatul Ma'sumin, and Wild al-Husayn, all of the 12 Imams and the Lady Fatima al-Zahra, Salamullahi alayha. These are the keys. They are the doors to the knowledge of the Prophet, and the knowledge of the Prophet is divine knowledge. They are the ones that we should beg. They are, and again, they are Ana madinatul ilm, not my words, the Prophet says, making that point clear again. Ana madinatul ilm. Aliyun babuha. Ali is the bab, not his words. You need to go to those words, that's fine, but go to Ali himself. And I don't mean visit the shrine of Ali ibn Abi Talib, although that is needed. But the conversation here is, all of these are connections. You learn things through the words of Ali ibn Abi Talib, through the words of the Holy Prophet, through the verses of the Holy Quran. You learn them, you apply them to the best of your ability. Through them you learn what? You learn that Ali ibn Abi Talib is alive. And you can make that connection with him. Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha, is alive. You can make that connection, and they themselves are the gate to that knowledge. Their shrines we need to visit based on what they have said. But when you go there, don't connect to the shrine. Don't connect to the grave. Connect to Ali ibn Abi Talib. Make a connection with him. Talk to him. Beg him. Plead to him. Ask Allah to make that connection. Say, Ya Allah, you told me you created him as a key for me to get to you. I'm begging you by your right and by the right you have established in Ali ibn Abi Talib and by the right that you have established over me in going to Ali ibn Abi Talib, that please you take me to Ali ibn Abi Talib. You make that connection. Whatever barrier there is, whatever sin there is, whatever wrong I've done, that has caused a barrier, a disconnect from Ali ibn Abi Talib, or does not allow me, it's a barrier that doesn't allow me to get to him. Ya Allah, you remove that. This will be our conversation. We ask Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha, for being that coach for us. Ya Fatima, you understand my condition, you see my conditions, you know what I understand, you know what I misunderstand. God has made you such. God has established this for you. And I am begging Him to help me with your coaching and your training and your involvement in my ascension towards Him, as there is no other path other than the Ahlul Bayt. Salamullah alayhim ajma'in. I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us all. This is something we all need to do. And we pray at the end that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us all. These days are also the days of the revolution. The Islamic revolution. An event that has been foretold by the Ahlul Bayt, salamullah alayhim ajma'in. An event that we have been told is near the coming of the Imam of our time, connected to the coming of the Imam of our time. The first stage of the revolution of the Imam of our time. An event that has changed the world and is changing the world. An event that has started the fitan, similar to the time of Ali ibn Abi Talib, Amir al-Mu'mineen, salawatullah wa salamuhu alayhi, Amir al-Mu'mineen, when he was asked, begged to lead the community of believers, the nation of the Prophet, as the ruler. He was there for 25 years. In those 25 years, he didn't say, لَتُغَرْبَلَنَّ غَرْبَلَهُ وَلَتُبَلْبَلَنَّ بَلْبَلَهُ. He didn't say that then. He didn't say in the first 5 years or so, or whatever number of years, لَتُغَرْبَلَنَّ غَرْبَلَهُ, which means you will be tested, you will be put through a sieve, some of you, and separated. That's the distinction. You know, a sieve, they used to put flour through, or whatever small grains, and the finer ones would go through, and the larger ones would remain. Or sometimes it was used to find gold. The ones that are not gold, those smaller pieces or pieces of soil, gradually they break down and they go through it. What remains are those pieces, those gems, they remain. لَتُغَرْبَلَنَّ غَرْبَلَهُ. When did Ali ibn Abi Talib say this? He said it when he started his government after 25 years. after all these centuries, again, the government of the Ahlul Bayt, Salamullah alayhim ajma'in, according to their own words, in so many different ways, started, and again, the same words of Ali ibn Abi Talib are true. لَتُغَرْبَلَنَّ غَرْبَلَهُ وَلَتُبَلْبَلَنَّ بَلْبَلَهُ All of you, all of us, are going through these fitan. They started with that. The enemies of Islam pushing people in one direction, the representative of the Imam pushing people in a different direction, and then munafiqeen helping the kuffar, and then some believers helping the na'ib of the Imam, the representative of the Imam. And all these voices, therefore, are being heard, and some get confused and are not able to make progress with the movement. Others are on the forefronts. They are on the front lines. They are the forerunners of the movement of the Imam. These are the times that we are in. And I hope all of us take this opportunity to go and find material, to see what happened and see for ourselves the signs of divinity. What we just said in regards to the coaching of Fatimah al-Zahra, Salamullah alayha, and the Ahlul Bayt, Salamullah alayhim ajma'in, is clearly seen in Imam Khomeini. Clearly, on a level that is beyond everything and anything else we have seen or experienced prior to that. The coaching that has happened prior to that, at best, the person who's been coached has been able to receive that on a level of personal purification, personal ascension. What Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi, received it on the level and scale of was not only on that level, but he was coached to the level that his decisions about when to stand, when to speak, when to tell people I'm coming to Iran, when to tell people the military officers and soldiers to leave their positions, to join the revolution, when to tell the people to be patient, when to tell people to come out on the streets, when to tell people not to come out on the streets, when to say that we're going to establish a government, when to insist I'm going to come back to Iran. None of these decisions could have been so accurately taken one after the other, leading to the establishment of the Islamic Republic, and then afterwards everything that happened. Putting in the first government based on the recommendations of certain people, giving them that position was divinely guided. Taking that away from them, divinely guided. Putting in even Bani Sadr, allowing him divine guidance. Coaching of Fatimah al-Zahra, salamullah alayha, the a'immah of the ma'sumin, because they are nurun wahid from the perspective of them delivering it to us. They're all the same. We have been given 14 names to refer to ask, to beg, to plead to. Each of them for a reason we have been given. But all of them are means and connections to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who guides. They have nothing of themselves. It's all from Allah. And Allah is the one who guides. If he guides through Fatimah al-Zahra, it's him. If he guides through Imam al-Husayn, it's him. If he's guiding through Ali ibn Abi Talib, it's him. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who guides. And he chooses through whom and which of these lights he presents that guidance to whomever he wishes. Clearly, divine guidance in every one of those. We are in need of that type of coaching for ourselves. And the only way, if me as a person, as just one individual, in order to be able to move in the right direction and to reach my full potential, which is falah, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, prosperity in this world and the hereafter, on all different levels, if I need the coaching of the Ahlul Bayt, if I need the coaching of Fatima al-Zahra, which every single one of us does, then on a social, political level, we are definitely in need of that. What are the solutions in governing our societies? What are the solutions to stay away from the problems that have happened? I was watching, this is a very, I think, useful example. I was just watching today. There's a lot of really nice documentaries. Unfortunately, they're all in Farsi. We hope that some believers take the responsibility of translating these and then explaining them and producing works, books from the believers about the revolution with the details that are so helpful and useful. One of the groups that worked against the Shah was willing to sacrifice their lives. They did. They had, apparently, from a material perspective, they were martyrs. They were activists against the Shah. They felt that the condition is so bad that they need to take arms against the Shah. But their ideology was a communist, Marxist, socialist ideology. It wasn't an Islamic ideology. They changed names. The last name they had was Fadaiyan Khalq, Cherikhay Fadai Khalq. They considered themselves guerrillas, guerrilla warfare, people with that type of warfare and those types of abilities, working against tyranny for establishing justice for the masses, for the oppressed people. That was their ideology. They fought against the revolution. Not only that, it was interesting what I learned today, because I already knew that. What I learned today was that they were armed by a Palestinian group, a Palestinian organization that also had socialist ideologies. Now, in Palestine, that movement never reached a point where they liberated Palestine. Of course, that will happen by the hands of the believers, of course. But I want to use this as an example. But the Islamic Republic, at the time, Iran, the Shah's Iran, the monarchy, that was liberated. One of the groups working hard against the Shah is this organization. What happened to this organization, to these people, to these activists who chanted slogans, some of the best slogans against the Shah? They shed blood for removing the Shah. What happened after the revolution succeeded? They became a splinter group that started killing. The problems of trying to take apart the Islamic Republic now after the revolution, calling for independence for the Kurds, calling for independence for the Azeris or the Turks, calling for independence for the Turkmen, particularly in Kurdistan and also in Gumbad-e-Kavus, they call it, a city northeast of Iran, close to the border of Turkmenistan. People there share ethnically, or their ethnicity, they share with people north of the border, at least some, the Turkmens. Problems, armed movements started against the revolution by this group in Gumbad-e-Kavus and in Kurdistan. The arms, the weaponry that was brought in from people who are fighting Israel. Is fighting Israel good or not? Of course it's great. But what's their ideology? Those, that particular group? Socialists, communists, Marxists. The basis, the core of their belief is based on the teachings of Karl Marx. They fight. Their chants are against tyranny, against this, against that, all of that. What happens when they come to power? The whole communist movement, go back and read that, the socialist movement. They created a revolution in Russia, and based on that, they created the USSR. What were their chants? What were their slogans? They said, we're against tyranny. We're against capitalism. The evil of capitalism. What are the evils of capitalism? Oppression of the masses. What did the USSR do during their times? The type of physical oppression, and in many ways intellectual oppression, that happened within the borders of the USSR are crazier than a lot of the other stuff that we've seen from others. Back to the example, this group working against the Shah, they were working against the Shah. the followers of Imam Khomeini, the followers of the Ahl, they're also working against the Shah. The revolution succeeded. The Shah is gone. They should be celebrating, rejoicing along with everyone else. Like, no, the revolution is not over. We need to be in power. And how we're going to do that? The same tactics against the Shah. Armed rebellion against the Shah. Now, armed rebellion against the revolution. Remember, we get lost sometimes when we're talking about the Imam of our time. We're talking about tyranny. We're talking about tyrannical regimes. We're talking about capitalism and all of that. How do we present a model that will bring true and real prosperity to everyone? Both what is that intellectually, conceptually? And more importantly, how do we move in that direction? Even if you read the Quran and the verses of the Quran, the words of the Ahlul Bayt, the words of Ali ibn Abi Talib, Nahjul Balagha, outside of Nahjul Balagha, all these great words, this is what an Islamic government needs to be like, this is how an Islamic society needs to be like, this is how the globe needs to be governed. All those are great, but how do you get there? What are the steps? We need coaching. We need to receive that guidance from the Ahlul Bayt, salamullah alayhim ajma'in. They know who else has the knowledge. Who else has a type of knowledge that doesn't need experience? Because they know it all. Not only do they know it conceptually, they know what is going to happen. The book of Fatima to Zahra, Mus'haf Fatima, that was carried and is carried by the Ahlul Bayt, by the Imam of our time, Mus'haf Fatima, Salamullahi Alayha, which is written, the handwriting is the handwriting of Ali ibn Abi Talib, but it was dictated by Fatima to Zahra. She received this to write, otherwise she already had it, but she was told to write, to have this written, and Ali ibn Abi Talib wrote it down. Mus'haf Fatima. This contains everything that will happen until the day of judgment. What does that even mean, a book containing all of that? Whatever it means, it says that that's what it contains, and that's only the written version of it. That's the written version. That's the script of it. What's in them, what's in their hearts, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has showed them, has shown them, is something that we just can't understand. They know exactly, and they know exactly what God wants the believers to do every step of the way, particularly to the minute, to the second. Should we not refer to them? Should we just work on our own and think that our brains, our minds, our experiences can tell us what to do and what not to do? We are told to try our best, but there's a difference between a person who says, I'm trying my best because God told me to. I'm using my mind because God told me to. I'm using my heart because God told me to. But God also told me that this is all deficient. You need to refer to me. And how you're going to refer to me is through these lights, through these Ahlul Bayt. I have shown them. You want the path, go to them. You want to know, go to them. You want progress, go to them. You want prosperity in this life for yourself, go to them. You want to move society towards prosperity, you look at the conditions of the people of the world, you get sick of it, you don't know what to do, you're saddened by all the atrocities globally. Try your best, it's your taklif, but know that you're not enough, you're not efficient, you have deficiencies, you need to connect to the Ahlul Bayt. If you make that connection, they will. I have shown them, and they will show you what to do, and you will move in that direction. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides us all through and by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, a right that He has given, a right that He has created, a shafa'a that He has obligated us to go to. He has said, I will not give you if you don't go through them. He has decided that. If He hadn't decided that, no one would have the right to say that God, you need to go to this person or that person. We can't limit God, and God is not limited. But He has said, I choose to go through this. If you want it, you have to go through them. Whatever wisdom that he knows, and we know, if anything, little of, and it's none of our business. He is Al-Aziz, Al-Hakim, and he has given them that. Whether you like it or you don't, it's your business. Know that that's what God has done. And he has said, if you come through any other means, it's not going to work. You need to go through them. I have chosen that. If you say, no, God, can you choose this other person? You're my abd. You don't tell me who to give your sustenance through. I will decide. And I have decided it's through them. Go to them. Inshallah, we all go and we receive that guidance of Allah through Fatimah al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha, the Ahlul Bayt, salamullahi alayhim ajma'in. We ask Allah to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us become true and close companions of the Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those who are helping his cause, especially our ulama, our maraja, and more so our leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he forgive us all of our sins, forgives our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have left this world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all of us and all believers worldwide our hajat, our needs, our requests, especially those who are suffering from illnesses, especially our dear sister Anna. We have heard good news of her progress. We hope that in the near future, the very near future, at this moment, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom is, we ask him and we plead to him to give the full cure and her full health back to her, inshallah, and for her to go back to her family, inshallah. And anyone else in the community, outside the community that I'm not aware of, all those who are suffering from this pandemic, this illness, in whatever way they are, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve them all and relieve us all, as we are all affected by it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the right of the Imam of our time, to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabiya wa alihi rahimallah. Man qara al-fatihata ma'as-salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi.